Well, good morning, everyone. We're going to continue. Today we're going to look at some just practical helps we have in evangelism, and hopefully we can share things that will help and encourage each other to in evangelism. So, Marvin, could I get you to open up in prayer, and then we'll look into it.
Father, we want to thank you again for just sparing us this last week, granting us the opportunity to gather together again this morning. We thank you, Lord, for your word, and we pray as we open it up this morning again, we would see, as he just said, that we would love to just learn some practical applications for sharing the gospel. And I pray, Lord, that you would just help us to understand and to see the simplicity of it and the need to do it as well. So come, Lord, just open our hearts to your truth, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right, so we talked for the last 2 weeks just on evangelism, what evangelism is about, and we shared some things that help us evangelize. Just to recap the few weeks, I just want to go over the Colossians 4 passage I shared last time. Then I want to clarify a few things when we talk about evangelism after that. And then we'll get into more of the practical, what we can use to help us in evangelism. So I'm going to read Colossians 4:2-6. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. So again, as I shared last week, in these four verses, Paul hits on some very important elements of responsible evangelism. The first is to pray regularly for opportunities to share the gospel. If we're serious about sharing the good news, we will be asking God to give us more and more opportunities. Then he says for us to be watching and thankful. And since you're going to be praying for opportunities, you're going to have to be on the lookout for them and thankful for when they occur. And also to pray for others that they would also have opportunities to share the gospel clearly. Then be wise how we treat outsiders. And we need to learn how to think of every conversation as an important part of our evangelism. It's not that we're always sharing the gospel, it's that we don't want to do anything that undermines us before we have the opportunity to. And of course, he says to make the most of every opportunity. And making the most of every opportunity requires lots of vigilance and prayer, obviously. We need to be on guard to recognize our opportunities, and we need to have the resolve to take advantage of the opportunities when they occur. And of course, to ensure all our conversations are full of grace. And it's so important that we recognize that all our conversations reflect the gospel, even when we're not talking about the gospel. So we should just, in walking in wisdom, we need to make sure we're not undermining the gospel by the way we act before we have a chance to speak. So I just wanted to clarify, in evangelism, I'm not talking only about going on the streets and evangelizing there, though that's included, but also we as Christians are called to evangelize in every aspect of our lives. Wherever we go, we have to be walking in wisdom towards outsiders. We need to be sharing the gospel. God gives us opportunities everywhere. God has placed people in every one of our lives that need to hear the gospel. So it's not just on the street, though that's included, but it's also in just in every walk of our lives. For mothers, it can be with your children, as you have many opportunities there to evangelize them, right? We have, God has placed people in our lives, every one of us, throughout our daily lives that need to hear the gospel. So with that, we're going to talk about what are some practical helps we can have to help us share the gospel? Because it can be very scary. First we need the encouragement and the prayers of each other, but also it's helpful to have some practical helps in evangelism. So number one for me is to devote some scripture to memory. Because in the first week I shared that God, man, Christ response. So it's just good to have some verses that you memorize that go along with that. For example, for God, you can memorize Psalm 19:1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims His handiwork, right? This tells us who God is. Or Revelations 4:11, worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created. Again, this tells us who God is, right? So it's good to commit verses, and there's many throughout the whole Bible that you can commit to memory that tell you who God is, that you can then share with others to explain this very important thing. A.W. Tozer says the most important thing about us is what comes into our mind when we think about God. And that's for every person. So we need ourselves to have a good understanding of who God is and have those verses committed to memory so we can share that with others. And of course, there's so many verses that you can memorize. I'm just going to share a few and then maybe get some of you guys is what you have might have committed to memory. But for man, Isaiah 59:2, but your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden His face from you so He does not hear. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord, Romans 6:23. It's appointed for man to die once, and after that comes the judgment, Hebrews 9:27. Right? These verses are very helpful for us to commit to memory, so that we can use them. And then for Christ, again, a very easy one, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Romans 5:8, but God shows His love for us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for Him, for us. 1 Peter 2:24, He himself bore our sins in His body on the tree that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By His wounds you have been healed. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for our sake He made Him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. John 3:36, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. So again, these verses clearly tell the state of man right before our God. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and we need a Savior. So this, again, this just having these Bible verses in your memory, or even some of them, or others that tell us of this, this will really help us to stay on track and keep evangelism about the main things. Then about being born again, or Christ. Jesus says in John 3:3, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And there's Romans 10:13, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Matthew 11:28, come to me all who labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Again, Jesus says in John 14:6, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And again, there's so many more that go along with that. So it's just important, I think, and it's one of the biggest helps for me, is just to have some of these scriptures memorized that you can go to, that you know where they are. Because, you know, that's what we want to focus on when we're in evangelism, is God's Word, because it's God's Word that is living and powerful to save, right? The gospel is the power of God's salvation. So does anybody have any other Bible verses or any other things that really help them when talking to people in evangelism? Things that can help all of us? God commands the church to evangelize, and that's why we have one another, to encourage each other. And to also share help, to exhort each other to share helps of how, even what's been helpful for you in evangelism. Because God has created us all differently, and different things help each one of us understand it better and to be able to do it better. So does anybody have anything they would like to share in evangelism or what's helped them?
Okay. I forget the author's name now. It's called Just Walk Across the Room.
Okay.
And it was very much about seeking an individual who seems kind of left out or uncomfortable in a situation that you could just start a conversation with them.
Right.
And for him, that had really worked really well. Now, he was quite a talker.
Right.
And, but I think we all can be.
Right.
If, especially if prepared.
Definitely, if we have something prepared, it is as simple as walking across the room or finding that person.
There's lots of people in the crowd who feel uncomfortable or don't know very many people or whatever. There's always a few.
Right.
You know, that you can just strike up a conversation.
Right. Yeah, because often we make evangelism about something far more scary or whatever than we need to. All we need to do is initiate that conversation, start that conversation, and turn it back to God. And right? We often make it so much harder than it actually is. So that's definitely very helpful. Just a lot of times it's just about walking across the room, finding that individual that you can talk to. Does anybody have anything else?
Well, I struggle with Bible verse memory myself.
Right.
And if I memorize verses, then I'm trying to memorize other verses. And so, in my experience, it's all about the prayers with me. And so, just to pray, to have a pure heart on a daily basis in the morning, gives me the right attitude to approach people in society.
Right.
And right there is the standing point. Right there, I can become a light in the world.
Right. Definitely, prayer is very important. We need to be praying to get ourselves ready. Of course, in Bible memory, you don't always, in sharing the gospel, sharing the Bible with somebody, you don't need to know exactly where it is and have the word for word. You can say God created the heavens and the earth, knowing that it's in there, right? And that you can look it up if need to be. You don't have to quote the verse exact word for word when you're talking to somebody. You can share what the verse is saying about God in your own words, right? Or that they can understand. Because, yeah, a lot of times it is hard to get exact word-for-word Bible verse memorized. But if you have a list that you put for yourself and you read through it every day, even if you don't memorize every verse word-for-word, you'll get that general idea and you'll be able to say the things that those verses then say about God, man, and who Christ is and what our response should be. So, and I found that helpful is just to write out a bunch and just read through it once a day. I did that for a while. And that really helped just get the general idea. And then as you do it more, those verses just naturally start to stick, and then you know what they are and where they are in the Bible as well. So, and it's great because we don't all have to share the exact same verses. There's so many that we can make your own personalized list that covers the gospel, covers who God is, who man is, who Christ is, and what our response should be. And then you can share that with people. And even I found, especially with more religious type people, it's very helpful to have these Bible verses and then have, even if you have a piece of paper where they're written out, so, but then to go through the Bible with them and show them where it says in the Bible where these verses say, look, this is where this chapter says who God is, this is who man is, right? Because they don't believe what you just say a lot of times, but when you can show them from the Bible, if the Bible's, because we always start as our Bible's our authority, and a lot of people, religious type people, will say the Bible's their authority, so then going to the Bible where these verses are found can be very helpful, because then it's not your words, it's the scripture that's speaking to them, right? So, does anybody else?
Peter, the thought enters my mind that sometimes you need to have a conversation starter, a hook to arouse interest and to seek to engage the person you're wanting to talk to. And the two opening lines that I've used in prison ministry are, God is offering forgiveness. Are you interested? And that makes people think.
Right.
Forgiveness for what? You know, that kind of thing. And the other one is, there will be a great judgment. Are you ready?
Right.
And those two topics cause someone to stop and actually think, what is being said and what are the implications for me?
Right.
Some people will be dismissive, but other people will be drawn in by that.
Yeah, that's definitely very helpful. It's good to have a question or something like those statements are awesome. that gets somebody thinking about eternity and life and what's going to happen to them once they die, right? So.
I like Sam's two questions, and what I like about them is that they're somewhat open-ended. They're not too specific.
Right.
But they get your brain going. And
right.
I think that's the key, coming up with questions you're comfortable with that are not so specific that the listener right away is on to where you're going necessarily.
Right.
They're a little vague almost, which...
Yeah, and it gets them to speak and share what they believe and where they're standing, so now you can better answer them because you know what they kind of believe and what they're, you know, what they're thinking about life and death, and that it can help you then in where you steer the conversation and where you go. So that's definitely very helpful.
Two examples, I guess. One, they're kind of opposite. So one thing that I've done is kind of like what you said, have a list ready.
Right.
So I've written it down, probably 10 verses, where to find them, stuck it by my door. If someone's going to knock on your door when you're pretty much not ready.
Right.
So the last time it was like I was burning pancakes and people were coming over and some people came and I needed enough time. So rather than not having anything, it was right at the door. I didn't have an excuse and I could show them quickly Jesus is God.
Right.
And meet up with them later if they're interested.
Right.
If you don't have it ready, you won't be. You'll just
right.
not answer the door, go hide in your closet or something. Or
yeah.
The second thing is, I find that the questions like that are good. The last two that I've used, right after finding out the person's name, which sometimes I've forgotten to do before, I've just been so ready to start peppering them. I forgot to love them. So after asking their name, I would ask, you know, but do you believe in an afterlife? Something along those lines.
Right.
Because I already know that people think about that.
Right.
And it just, regardless of what their answer is, you know, let them answer.
Right.
Because sometimes, you know, you're just ready to, like, tell them the truth, but let them answer. And
right.
Listen and pray, because I've found it to be more effective when I didn't necessarily have an agenda of the things I wanted to tell each person.
Right.
But when I was prayerful, you already have the truth.
Right.
So you have to walk with the Spirit as it leads. Before I've tried to trample over people with verses, because I've said to myself, I have to tell them this.
Right.
But it didn't necessarily fit. It's like trying to fit a square peg into a round hole.
Right.
But if you recognize that the round hole, you know, the round peg goes in the round hole, you just pray, and God will answer that. He's faithful. He's not going to, you will not be put to shame.
Right.
Right? These things will come, but I really find, especially as I'm getting older, and probably, well, more mature, is patience. It is really, because what's the rush?
Right.
You know, and it's not me that, it's not my, this is the good news of Jesus Christ.
Right.
So I have to let him speak to that person.
Right.
And so all of this does tie together, you know, the preparation. You have to know who God is.
Definitely.
Like, just make an effort each day, like Perry said, wake up, give me wisdom to walk among outsiders, give me a heart that loves you and desires you, pray for these opportunities, and they will come. And then obedience.
Right.
Because they're going to come, and then you're going to say, probably not.
Right.
Yeah. Right? You're going to look at that person, like the last person I shared with was a tiny little realtor about this big, and I thought she was like Goliath. Yeah. Like, that's how I viewed her on my own, right?
Right, yeah.
But then I just kept praying, Lord, help me, help me, help me. It was actually her. I threw out a few little feelers. Like, I didn't know I was a Christian and kind of...
Right.
But it was actually her. Like, it kind of got awkward for a bit, and I just kept praying. And it was actually her that asked the question that opened up
the
answer. And that's... I knew God was working at that time.
Right.
Because I was kind of scrambling, and then she asked me a question that... Then all of a sudden the gates were open.
Right.
So obedience is key.
Definitely.
Because a part of me just wanted to be like, I'm just going to not... Right?
Right.
It just be, I guess the door is not open. Well, maybe it is.
Right.
Sometimes you have to kick it down.
Yeah.
But it's God that does it, right?
Right. Definitely. That's so helpful. And that's why, definitely, we need to be in prayer. The verse in 1 Peter tells us to be ready at all times with an answer for the hope that's in. you can use things like a paper at your door to help you with that. If that will help you in sharing, you need to find what you need and what will keep you motivated in evangelism, what will make you ready in each instant. If it is carrying a list of Bible verses with you, if it is a gospel tract, whatever it is, we need to be ready. And for sure, we need to be prayerful in conversations, because a lot of different conversations, people can be struggling with different things, or everybody has their own set of problems, right? That we can, as Christians, we have answers to the problems of life, right? And we have a hope in a future. So we need to be sensitive in every conversation and praying. And the Bible clearly says that we shouldn't worry about the words in those times, but because the Spirit will help us. And something I wanted to share that will help us, because as Cliff said, we need to know who God is. We need to know these things, first of all, just to be a faithful Christian, but also to be a faithful Christian in evangelism. One thing I want to share with you that can be a huge help is a catechism or a statement of faith. It can be a huge help. Our church here uses the New City Catechism. And just to read through it, and even if you need to memorize this answer or get the gist of what it's saying, because here it starts, question one in the New City Catechism: what is our only hope in life and death? The answer, that we are not our own, but belong body and soul, both in life and death, to God and to our Lord Savior, Jesus Christ. Question two is, what is God? God is the creator and sustainer of everyone and everything. He is eternal, infinite, and unchangeable in his power and perfection, goodness and glory, wisdom, justice, and truth. Nothing happens except through him and by his will. And every one of these questions has Bible verses that go with it. So if you want to know how to answer one of these questions, and a lot of these questions will come up in conversations. The next one is, how many persons are there in God? It's just to simply get your catechism, because this is based on scripture. It's a statement of faith. It's answered. All these questions are answered succinctly. So you can just either memorize an answer or read through it and look at the Bible verses and then form in your own mind, okay, this is how I can answer this question. So these catechisms and stuff are meant to be an aid for us. And I could say they can be a huge aid. You know, question four is, how and why did God create us, right? This is a question that will come up when you talk to people. The answer here is, God created us male and female in his own image to know him, love him, live with him, and glorify him. And it is right that we who were created by God should live to his glory. Right? And the next question, what else did God create? Question six, how can we glorify God? Question seven, what does the law require? And it just goes on, right? It goes through this God, man, Christ response. It goes through that in the catechism. So that's why it's important even for our kids to teach them these things, because this will be a huge aid in just sharing the gospel, talking to people. You know, this is just Bible truth. So if you want help, you can go to a catechism or a statement of faith that we have as a church, and we can find these answers. And because a lot of times they're written a lot more clearly than we can say, because a lot of times we know the answer, but we don't know exactly how to put it into words or how do we state this. So this is a huge aid, I believe, for us to evangelize, to share the truth about God. So does anybody have any other things that have helped them or in evangelism, or things that, you know?
One thing that I've noticed is, not so much for strangers, but for friends and family, the relationship aspect is huge.
Right.
Like if you're coming from a place of a good, strong relationship, they know that you're coming at them with love instead of judgment.
Right.
So.
Yeah. Yeah, to show them that you really care.
Yeah.
Definitely, that's huge. So, I think, okay, do you want to?
There's a gentleman called Greg Copeland. He has a ministry called Stand for Reason. And he came to us just a few years back and gave a presentation on the method that he uses.
Right.
He calls it the Columbo method.
Okay.
Where you basically just, for those that are shy, or you just ask questions. And
right.
You know, anybody that has any experience, you can sit beside somebody in an airplane or anywhere, you ask two questions, and you're going to get half hour plus, depending on the individual. That's very,
right.
Very shy. But most people, when you start asking pertinent questions,
right.
They'll talk.
Yeah, most people like to talk about themselves and what they believe, right? So definitely asking questions is huge.
Yeah, Greg's book is called Tactics.
Yeah.
I've read it a number of times. It's very helpful to teach you how to just be a gracious, loving, seasoned with salt communicator.
Right.
It's a very good book.
Definitely. And that's another great resource. There's so many books that are written by great guys in evangelism, and there's many that lots of people around us can recommend if you want to know more, like Tactics by Greg Kopel. Or, you know, there's so many of these books that you can read that will really help you, and you know, in talking to people and how to respond to certain questions that come up and stuff. There's also obviously so much online that you can listen to as well that can really help you. So.
And a good point on most people think when they interact with somebody that asks a good question, they consider that person to be a great conversationalist or communicator. And then if you're like, well, I only said 10% of words that were said, right?
Right.
And that's because I have the opposite problem, but most people tend to think you have to have things that you want to say and the whole... But usually just asking the right questions, people walk away with, oh, what a great conversation that was.
Right. Yeah, and it's just great if you can ask the questions that'll stick with them for a while, right? Asking them, you know, where will we stand in judgment, those type of things, right? They can really stick with somebody. And, you know, God can use that then, you know, when they're laying down at night to keep going through their head, right? And make them want to find answers. And this can plague them in a good way, right?
I think the most... Oh, sorry, Jordan.
Okay, Dini was first here, so...
I was just wondering, I should probably know this, probably forgotten, but so what says that in the Bible? How do you respond to that?
Like, so the Bible says that, so what? I don't believe the Bible?
So what? Yeah.
Okay, well, then you have to go back to, well, the Bible's our authority. You know, the reason we as Christians have anything at all is because God has spoken to us in His Word, and He's given us this special revelation that we can know truth, we can know things for certain, because without the Bible, we have no basis. If we live in an evolutionary world where things are constantly changing, we have no reason for logic, for anything. We can't, if you live in a world where evolution is the reason for everything, there's no reason to say anything should stay consistent. So you can't say 2 plus 2 equals 4. But with God, we have in God's Word that God is a God of logic, of order, of reason. So we know the Bible is true, because there's impossible that it could not be true. The impossibility that it's not. Because God says in His Word that He's a God of order, that He set things up with laws for everything. So we know that this is true, and this is, you know, conscience, the world, everything testifies to the truth of God. And you... because of God's Word said, you know deep down yourself, that's how I would answer, you know, that God is real and that you have a problem with sin. You don't have to look far to see that. But we have the answer of hope here in the Bible, right? So you just say something like that, where it's like, no, the Bible is true. Because we don't, a lot of times, a lot of these questions, we can, it's good to find a good answer for and stuff, but we always have to go back to the Bible is true and the gospel is what saves. So we always want to bring it back to the gospel. And since the Bible is true now, this is what it says. We're all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death, right? But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So we can go back to those verses and share that truth, right? Because if the Spirit's at work in that person, hearing the gospel is what they need, right? God's sheep hear His voice. So that's why it's good to find answers to some of those questions. And there's plenty of them out there that you can look up in books and resources. But you always, your goal is always to bring it back to the Word of God, to the gospel. Because nobody ever gets saved by clever arguments. And that's what they get saved by, the Word of God, right? So in all those questions, we always want to bring it back to the gospel. But yeah, it's good to study some quick answers for certain questions, because they will come up a lot, some of them, so...
Yeah, and I was just going to add to it, back to the beginning of when we first meet people and approach them, that it doesn't work for me to be real logic and say the same scripture to every, because everybody's a different individual, just like we're different individuals. We're all brothers and sisters in Christ, but we're slightly different, right?
Right.
And so for me, the biggest help that's ever happened is the Lord's used my experience, strength, and hope to speak with people. So we bring it right down to humbly down to earth, And if I share some of my story,
right,
what I was like, what happened, and what I am like now, then they can, they've got something tangible kind of to relate to.
Right.
You know, if I say that I was a sinner also.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, that's huge.
Yeah, otherwise, I could come across the wrong way, like I'm pointing the finger at them.
Right.
Think I am.
Right, so that is definitely a huge point. You know, it's very helpful in a lot of conversations to share your own testimony and to share that you are a sinner. I was actually just talking with Jake this past week, and he had some opportunities at work to share the gospel and stuff, and I just asked him, what helps you when you're talking to some of the stuff? And he said, for him, it's really important because it removes, you know, that thinking that you're judging, is to share that, hey, I'm a sinner, and even to share things, you know, I'm not any better person than you, but I'm better off because of what Christ has done for me, right? So to share that, hey, I'm not looking down on you and stuff, but I'm sharing a message of hope to you, you know? It's not, I'm not judging you, I'm not, but this is what God's Word says, and this is the hope we have, you know, if we repent and believe in Him. I'm a sinner as well, and still sin, and you know, I'm not perfect by any means, but the Bible says that all have sinned, and that includes you, that includes me. You know, we all have this problem, and that's why we're here to share the hope, the only hope for all humanity, right? Jesus is the only way, the truth, and the light, and no man comes to the Father but through Him. So definitely that's very helpful, just to share, even to not come down as looking down on somebody, but just come, we're on the even plane of we're all born in Adam, we're all have a sinful nature.
Peter, do you remember when we went to that apologetics thing? And Matt Slick was there.
Yeah.
Do you remember his memorization technique?
I don't know.
I do. I just want to share that with everyone because I actually use it and I find it really helpful. So when I come across a piece of scripture or maybe even a quote, it doesn't matter. Especially with scripture, it's nice to know the address of the scripture, but I rarely use that in an evangelistic conversation.
Right.
But it's almost more for my own purpose or even just discipleship. So when I come across a verse, I do what Matt does, and it came one across the other day. It was Genesis 22. Now I have to look it up. 22:14. That on the mountain of the Lord it'll be provided. And I thought, well, that's an encouraging thought. And so what Matt does is he says, he speaks out loud just by himself, that on the mountain of the Lord it'll be provided. Genesis 22:14. In Genesis 22:14, it'll be provided on the mountain of the Lord. And then he has a little conversation with himself for about 30 seconds. Where is it that on the mountain of the Lord it'll be provided? Genesis 22:14. On the mountain of the Lord it'll be provided. Genesis 22:14. And he just swaps them back and forth for
right.
30 seconds to a minute, and you will be shocked. You'll remember that little phrase. You don't need to know the whole verse.
Right.
Remember the phrase, and you can integrate that phrase into a conversation at some point.
Definitely.
You don't need the address, but you have it.
Right.
And if nothing else, you'll remember close where it was in Scripture. Later.
Definitely.
That's a really quick, easy little technique for memorizing short little symbols.
That is hugely helpful for sure. I must have remembered something because I actually do that, so that's probably where I got it from. I just didn't know who said it or why, but that is hugely helpful because I don't do it exactly like that, but that really helps, just saying it a few times back and forth. And then you just kind of get the gist of the verse, and then, like you say, you can just put it into your conversations. And then even if you don't know exactly where it is and you need to look it up, you can type that little phrase in Google and it'll come right up for you. So which is great for sure. So that's definitely very helpful because memorization is key to a lot of good conversations. So.
And one point on that, if we all now have a device with us, for those of us that have it, that is an endless resource, both either in search, the Bible apps, that you can bookmark.
Right.
Like a whole encyclopedia of content that you could have at your fingertips.
Right.
When you're talking to somebody or
that.
Even I haven't done video yet, but even a video. Like, hey, here's a 5-minute video, what do you think? Like
right.
With missionaries or
that.
Like LDS missionary, people that you know will be engaging.
Right.
Then you have a resource if you show them.
Right.
Maybe have to answer that instead of answering you.
Right, and that can even start the conversation then. So definitely technology you can use for good. You know, there's lots of ways you can use it to in different evangelistic situations. And that can relieve a lot of fear, because you're like, oh, I got my trusty phone that I can look anything up on. You know, if I get stumped, I can just search and I know it's in there, right? So that definitely can be an aid for sure. So does anybody have any other things to add or to encouragement or?
Prayer more than anything.
Definitely. Yeah. That we always, that's the number one thing we need to remember in everything, is in all of our life and all of our encounters for sure too, is prayer, to pray for God to be working. I was I copied down this quote from Ray Comfort this week. He posted, well, this is an excerpt of an email an atheist once sent me, and I thought it was very convicting, and I wanted to share it this morning because I think it really applies to all of us as Christians. So this is an email that an atheist sent to Ray Comfort. You are really convinced that you got all the answers. You've really got yourself tricked into believing you're 100% right. Well, let me tell you just one thing. Do you consider yourself to be a compassionate of other humans? If you're right, as you say you are, and believe that, then how can you sleep at night? When you speak with me, you are speaking with somebody who you believe is walking directly into eternal damnation, into an endless onslaught of horrendous pain, which your loving, in quotations, God created, yet you stand by and do nothing. If you believe one bit that thousands every day were falling into eternal and unreachable fate, you should be running the streets mad with rage at their blindness. That is equivalent to standing on the street corner and watching every person that passes you walk blindly directly into the path of a bus and die. Yet you stand idly by and do nothing. You're just twiddling your thumbs, happy in the knowledge that one day you will walk, that walk signal will shine your way across the road. Think about it. Imagine the horrors of hell must have in store if the Bible is true. You're just going to allow that to happen, not care about saving anyone but yourself. If you're right, then you're an uncaring, unemotional, and purely selfish human that has no right to talk about subjects such as love and caring. So I thought that really applies to us, right? If we love people, we are going to share with them, right? Because we need to realize that hell is in store for all those who reject Christ, right? And it is only the gospel message that saves. So we need to be people of the gospel. We need to be a church where everybody, you know, believes the gospel and lives the gospel and shares the gospel. You know, it doesn't mean we need to be running the streets mad, but we need to be people of the Word of God, sharing the Word of God, wherever God gives us opportunities, right? And we need to be praying for those opportunities, that God would provide us opportunities that we can share, because otherwise we are unloving in all those things He called us, right? So that's why evangelism, walking in the Word of God, needs to be a way of life for everybody. But God in His grace has given us a church so that we can help each other on this path and encourage each other. And it's not just a one-man effort, but it's everyone effort, right? And we can encourage each other. We can pray for each other to have opportunities. When somebody does have opportunities, we can definitely pray for them. Just, if you know you're going to go talk to somebody about the gospel, just texting a brother or sister and say, hey, can you pray for me? I'm going right now to talk to them. That'll give you a huge amount of strength in that situation, knowing that somebody's praying for you. And then discussing it afterwards, or giving them a call afterwards and saying, hey, this is how it went. That can be hugely helpful for us, because we're not in this as loners, but we're in this together. And even talking to somebody and bringing a brother or sister along, that can be a huge aid as well. If you're talking to a family member or somebody you've built a relationship with, bring somebody along and go for coffee. Like all these things, we have so many ways that we can do things that can really help us and bolster our evangelism, our faith even, and our joy. That, you know, God has given us many great gifts. He has given us His Word and His promises that are in there, that we've talked about a bunch of them, that we have when we go evangelizing. We're sharing in the power of God, because the gospel is the power of God for salvation. So we want to go forth and we share that gospel. We're sharing in the power of God. And God says His Word never returns void, but always accomplishes His purpose. So whenever you share the Word of God with anybody, you can take full confidence that the Word of God doesn't return void, that you have, you know, it has accomplished exactly what God intended it to in that situation. And God's sheep hear His voice.
What that guy doesn't understand
is the other part that we have to remember as Christians, that God is sovereign.
Right.
And we're not going to ever win anyone to Christ.
No, definitely not.
Spirit, and he doesn't know that, so we can't go whipping out in front of buses and whatever.
No, and I that wasn't my point by sharing that. I was just sharing in light of...
That's what...
Right.
When someone would say that to us, what we could say is, but I am praying for you.
Right.
Because I don't talk to every single person doesn't mean I'm not praying. And God is greater than me being able to go around.
Definitely.
Maybe it's not me. Maybe it's another person that's going to talk to you. Or
Yeah, definitely. And that should give us comfort as well, that God is sovereign. And that, you know, none of God's people will go without being saved. So.
Have you thought about this? Presumably there are millions, if not tens of millions, of nominal Christians out there who really aren't receptive to hearing a gospel presentation because they think they're insiders, that they have faith. They don't know they don't. How do you reach into the hearts and minds of people who are supposed Christians, think they're Christians, but are lost, demonstrably lost in how they live?
I think the only way to talk to somebody like that and to show them that they are lost is to, once again, to go back to the Word of God, to say, is the Bible your authority? You know, because if you're a Christian, the Bible needs to be your authority. So you start with that point. If they say the Bible is our authority, then you just have to take them through Scripture and say, you know, you got to take them to the verses where it says, you know, if you're a child of God, you will not continue to walk in darkness, and those type of verses, right? How is your lifestyle going with what the Bible says of a true Christian, right? And if the Bible, if you've established that the Bible is the authority that you need to bow the knee to, then that's the only thing you can go to, is to say, this is what the Bible clearly says about who a Christian is, right? You can go to 1 John, which we're going through in Grace Scripture. This is, I write these things so you may know that you're a Christian, right? So if you're not walking according to what God says, then you're not one of his, you're not saved, it says. So then you just, that's the only way you can do, and then pray, obviously, that God would shine his word into their hearts and show them that they're not a Christian, right? Because we really have no other basis than the Word of God, so that's really our only thing we can go to in those situations. So, does anybody have anything else to add to that, or...
I don't know, I'm going to guess that all of us know a handful of people who seem fairly nominal, and they're probably the most difficult people to evangelize to. Once you come to them, once you've kind of decided in your mind, I don't know if so-and-so is saved, but it seems like they think they are.
Right.
I know I have a whole bunch of people in my life that are like that.
Right.
It is a delicate surgery.
Definitely, yeah.
To start that conversation, what my tactic has been, and I don't know that this is the right tactic, but I find that the doctrines of grace come in really handy at this point. And what I try to plant some concepts in their mind. Instead of saying, I don't think you're a Christian, because that's going to be a conversation ender, I try to steer spiritual conversations in the direction of the same things that the Apostle Paul and the Apostle Peter said. 2 Corinthians 13:5, I think, says, test yourself to see if you're in faith.
Right.
And so I bring the idea to a person like that in random conversations that not everyone who thinks they're saved is necessarily saved.
Right.
And also working in the idea that the fruit of true salvation is growth and holiness. And so those two concepts together, over maybe months and years,
right.
I try to bring into the conversation to get their brain going without coming straight out and saying, I don't think you're a Christian.
Right. Yeah, and definitely there can be definitely some wisdom in that. We are called to walk in wisdom towards outsiders, and those are outsiders as well as anybody else, right? So
they may be acting in insiders.
Right.
Go to church with them every Sunday.
Yeah.
And work with them throughout the week and go,
Yeah, and I think that's really what you need to do, is just go back to the Scriptures again and show those verses and slowly work your way through, right? Just say, hey, you know, and just slowly. A lot of times it's not... a lot of times it's just not a, like a wham bam and that's it, you know, that we're called to disciple people and to teach them, and right, the Great Commission covers those aspects. So a lot of times it is, obviously you need to share the gospel, but you need to, there's a lot of things that need to come along with that too, that you need to share and teach, and right, you need to teach who God is, and you need to teach how you ought to live your life now that you're a Christian, right? And of course the Holy Spirit's on your side and is going to be helping you by illuminating those texts in the person's mind. But we're never called just to share the gospel and leave somebody. It's, we're called to make disciples of them, right, and show them and teach them. So I think we're out of time for this week, so Marvin, would you close us in prayer? And then I don't know what the plan is for the future, but
Father, we want to thank you for just allowing us to just openly converse and talk about, Lord, your word and how to share it and the difficulties and problems that exist and with humans who are yet outside your kingdom, Lord, and their non-willingness, Lord, to even listen. And I just pray that you would grant us the opportunity to share, Lord, and that you would increase our faith each time we do it, and that you would just help us, Lord, to even to remember some of those scriptures that we have tried to memorize, Lord, and that we put them into use by just using your word to point people to Christ as well. So come, I pray, and just bless us this morning as we open up your word again. Come and speak to us and strengthen our faith. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.